Council.
Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
This is a continuing effort, the Talk Radio Countdown Show, reviewing what's going on week in and week out, so that you will have on the tip of your fingers, or I guess the tip of your toes, depending on how well you work your toes. Seriously, we work hard to produce a program that goes through the items, the stories, the topics, the things that are being discussed by many of the great News Talk radio stations around the country that are surveyed, News Talk television as well. So with the cooperation of Talkers Magazine and the editor and publisher of same, we present to you this week's list, the last week, I suppose. I don't know. Next week, do we do a list for the week, or we just do the review for the year?
Next week is such a holiday that unless major news breaks, of course, which we're always ready to cover, and major news can break at any time. Basically, the Christmas week in radio is a slow week. I know that you and your daily show, you do live shows on every holiday of the year, and you're known for that, and that's it's a very good thing for your affiliates.
Yes.
But in terms of the world tries to take somewhat of a little vacation between Christmas and New Year's, and we will reflect the year. And a lot of the topics that we're going to talk about, obviously, for the year in review are the same topics we're talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who do you think the most talked about person of the year is going to be?
It's
the same guy that
Michael Harrison will be the number one person most talked about.
No, as they say, God forbid.
Right.
Okay, let's go through 10 to 1. At number 10, sports, we have NFL and NBA action. The very good seasons, very, very good seasons for those that follow football and basketball. At number 9, extreme weather. At number 8, holiday terror threats tied with Afghanistan operations. At number 7, we have the Dream Act. At number 6, we have Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We have the Korean nuke threats at 5, the START Treaty at 4, WikiLeaks at 3, net neutrality at 2, and the activities and interest surrounding the lame duck Congress is number 1. 10 most talked about personalities, we have Sarah Palin at number 10, Kim Jong-il at 9. Number 8 is Hillary Clinton. Number 7 is Julian Assange. Number 6 is Julius Genachowski. Dmitry Medvedev and Vladimir Putin are tied at number 5. Mitch McConnell at 4, Harry Reid at 3, Nancy Pelosi at 2. Number 1, Barack Obama.
Interesting, this list of people and how it isn't, we are now so worldly, if you will, so concerned with what's going on around the world. Taking this list over the last however many years you and I have been doing this program.
Forever.
And looking at it in the way that most people probably won't look at it, that is, if you were to go back 10 years and come up with a top 10 list for the week, you wouldn't see the names that are. We expect to see maybe a Mitch McConnell or a Harry Reid or a Hillary Clinton or Sarah Palin. Those names sound American, and we normally talked at that time about what was going on in America. But because we've become so, as a result of the media, so connected to the rest of the world, on this list, Kim Jong-il and Julian, I mean, even though Genachowski is an American, name doesn't sound like he's an American. It's a hybrid. Dmitry Medvedev, Vladimir Putin, those, and even, frankly, Barack Obama, even though American and it may sound a little silly, that's a name easy enough assimilated into our culture these days. But Barack Obama 10, 15, 20 years ago, that name would have really stood out. A lot of people tried during the election, Michael, to make it stand out without success.
Well, people still refer to him as Barack Hussein Obama.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, woo.
A lot of good it did him.
Of course, there was a King Hussein that was very friendly to the United States.
Yeah.
There,
right,
at the same time, Saddam Hussein.
Yeah. Well, those people don't have that much historical
right.
Reference because they only are in the here and the now. Which
Barack
brings me
Hussein.
Around to something that I wanted your comment on. I wonder whether this takes off or whether it stays here. Earlier this week, I came upon a book and a little bit of research that was done, and I think that I remembered this from my study of world history back in, I think, my junior year of high school, but not since then. as the discussion of what happened in the 1880s, 1890s through Teddy Roosevelt's presidency come into play as a comparison to what's going on now. And by that I mean, during those 30 years, the world was troubled and brought to war by a group of anarchists. They weren't terrorists. They were described by all at the time as anarchists because they were intelligent leaders, sometimes below the surface of countries, and oftentimes worked together for the downfall of some governments, even their own. Even though the French, for example, the Russians worked together, the anarchists who were around in that 30-year period came, made trouble, killed a lot of people, started a war, and then disappeared. And not from that time to the era that probably we could go back to the 1990s and find when Al-Qaeda first came into prominence so that we at least knew who they were. And yet, that, according to the theorists who wrote this book, The World That Never Was, The Story of Dreamers, Schemers, Anarchists, and Secret Agents, the historical perspective that one would hope some really good talk host conversations would take would be to look back at the relationship these secret agents had to the anarchists and to governments. And if you look at that and you wonder, okay, using the same logic, how much of this is around today, you'd become pretty cynical and pretty skeptical about the relationship. For example, we've had a little discussion on some of the better radio programs and TV programs about the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and how they are, in many instances in Afghanistan, paid by our own CIA. And yet, we don't often have the deep-rooted conversation because it doesn't seem to be in the best interests of those who are hosts. And I wondered, in a long, it's a long-winded way to get you into this, but I did want to bring the anarchy thing around to the surface. When you look at how people's minds are made up about what's going on these days, it tends to be moderately to greatly superficial, especially if you listen to the same train of thought on the same sort of radio programs day in and day out, and one wonders if that's not by design. I say the same thing about television, too.
Well, I mean, you know, it is mass appeal. If you want to really get into some heavy-duty conversations, go take a history course at, Princeton University. Mm-hmm. It is out there. There are intelligent discussions, symposiums, lectures, college courses, books. They're just not on the bestseller lists, and they're not on AM and FM radio or, television. Mm-hmm. If what you're saying basically is true. However, I think it taps into the syndrome that many people think the whole truth and nothing but the truth is located in popular culture media.
Right.
And if that's the case, you're going to be pretty ignorant about more important, deeper, and complex issues that are underpinning reality.
And that brings us to what some people think is the job of the folks who don't really understand what this is, the radio business, the television business. People think that we are on the air to present the truth. And,
well, I hope we're there to present the truth.
Well, but that's not our purpose. Our purpose is to get ratings and to make money for the station.
Yeah, but not at lies. This is where you and I have had this discussion before, and I think it's an interesting point at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all about the talk radio and television business thriving because I publish a trade magazine, and we want – it's a business. We take it from an industrial level, and we want the business to thrive. I understand it's a business, and I understand that it's entertainment to a great degree, and I understand that if you get too deep, too heavy, too complicated, you'll lose listeners, you won't be able to pay the bills, and then you won't be on the air at all. Okay, we understand that. But when it comes to truth, I personally believe, and I have to state it here because everything you say on the radio becomes, written in stone in the age of the Internet.
Right.
I'm not for not delivering truth in the name of ratings. I think that anybody that goes on the radio or writes a book or writes an article or says something to their neighbor over the backyard fence that is deliberately to deceive, that is a lie for the purpose of deception as opposed to a lie because you don't know the answer.
Right.
I think that's wrong. I think we're responsible to try to tell the truth, don't you?
I think that it is incumbent on us not to mislead, especially if it hurts somebody or something. I think you can tell stories that may not be 100% accurate, and you may not know by omission.
Right.
I'm also brought around to a sort of a side entry into that very thing, omission, lack of knowledge, and how this week one of the premier sort of side conversations focused on Diane Sawyer's interview with those three security people, including the director of national security, who didn't know what was going on in England with the arrest of the 12 terrorists and was extraordinarily embarrassed by it. I don't know whether he was embarrassed, but he ought to have been. But the Diane Sawyer approach to being gentle, but yet still getting to the point of him not knowing what was going on, made for yet another wonderful tremor from the right. Look at the Obama administration.
Yeah,
they don't even know what's going on. My God.
You could turn around and interview Diane Sawyer about a number of things in the very news that she covers, and she wouldn't know a thing about them either.
Yeah.
One of the ironies is the more busy you are with a big position, the less time you have to study all the information that goes with it. That's why members of Congress never read the bills that they sign into law. Mm-hmm. They don't have time. They're too busy being congressmen. It's a vicious cycle. If you sit around all day twiddling your thumbs, and you can read books, and you can attend lectures, and you can study, and not have to worry about getting to your next appointment or raising your next campaign fund or any of the or answering your email or being on Twitter and all the things that take time when you're in the real world in a big job, you'd have time to understand what the hell it is that you're talking about. That's the irony of life during this ADD-ridden time that we live.
Right.
The more important you are, the more busy you are, the less time you have to know what the hell it is you're doing.
Yeah. Well, and now that brings me around to the cover story on Talkers Magazine's cover this month, the war on words. We've often heard of the war of words, but now there is this, and maybe Al Sharpton is at the core, certainly he's been heard from the last couple of weeks, wants to have the FCC examine.
Sharpton's a small player in it. It's deeper. It goes very, very, very deep into hidden hands, people that don't have high profiles with a lot of money on all sides of the aisle who wage these wars through organizations that are so-called in the public interest against the words of people with whom they disagree politically. Sharpton does it, but he's a small player in that arena.
Yeah. Well, but he makes himself...
He makes himself
present. He's a small player in the arena of two-way talk, but he's not a small player in terms of media attention he gets whenever he opens his mouth.
Right. But what I'm saying to you is that there, and I don't want to get into names, I don't want to get into organizations, but it's on the left and it's the right. Mm-hmm. There's big money at play behind the scenes to try to shut down commercial media that takes an opinion opposite of the interests of those who are doing that.
Well, if that were the case, then Al Sharpton might not be the best representative of that. Someone from the right might be more along that, from that ilk, because
both sides play dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides of the left-right issue, and I don't mean everybody. I just mean within the left-right issue, there are powerful forces, and I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist. I just know this for a fact. There are powerful financial forces that don't give a hoot about the Constitution or the Bill of Rights or the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
They're for freedom of speech as long as it's their speech.
Right, yeah.
And then
they put the hosts that don't, you know, the advertisers, and people don't know the concept of no-buy list, but there are some hosts who are on the do-not-buy lists. Advertisers don't buy their program because they are, quote-unquote, too controversial.
Absolutely.
And that's part of this war that we're talking about.
That's what the war is about. That's what we're talking about.
The influence,
mm-hmm.
if you will, of big money on politics, on radio, television. The advertisers say, okay, you want to tell a story? Great. I'm not advertising with you anymore if it doesn't look good for them. It's very dangerous stuff.
Oh, yeah, and it's real.
Yeah, it is. Michael Harrison, who is real, with the overview of what's going on in the News Talk Radio game on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
pure water. What could be better than the gift of health for your loved ones? And who better to help you give the gift this holiday season than BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com? If those on your gift list are drinking or bathing in unfiltered city or well water, chances are that water is contaminated with rust, bacteria, chlorine, and fluoride. For just pennies a day, Berkey Water Filters remove dangerous contaminants from both well and city water, is powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, and is great for camping and emergencies. Right now, GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems and free shipping on orders over $50. Purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of Berkey Sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or the new Sight Class spigot absolutely free. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Give the gift of health at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com today.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
1177.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Focus in this hour of the countdown where we bring you both sides. This is a good example of really a two-sided issue, whether or not the president's doing a great job. Some of the people on his own side don't like some of the things that he's done, but it's all about not the individual, it's about the collective good, isn't it? I'm not going to become a fan of this guy. I can't imagine that I would become a fan of this guy, but the statement at the beginning of his administration holds now and at any time, whether a popular elected official or unpopular elected official is in really a position to influence what we're doing in this country to the better. If he does well, we do well. So all those, really the reason behind the people who want to rip this guy apart, I mean, the folks who are most outspoken, the radio folks who are right of center, and the folks that are on Fox and some of these other, the bugles that continue to deride him and what he does, and you don't hear much coming from me that's any good either. The idea, though, is to be specific and constructive. And this isn't really what has been done. It is, we fall into these political games, and that's what this is. And don't kid yourself. Obama's a great gamesman. He's going to use every opportunity he can to make himself look like. But why would you believe him? Under the circumstances, what he said he was going to do when he got elected, he didn't do. Well, he did some of them, but he didn't do some of the things the way that many of you who supported him wanted him to do. So that's why he's as unpopular as he is right now. Many presidents in their first part of the first term are unpopular because they try to get a lot of stuff done that they want to get done and say basically up yours to the public because they got two more years to change their stripes. And the Republicans really don't have anybody that's that strong, at least at the moment. Doesn't look like there's anybody that's that strong. So they better be looking for something really good to fight this guy because he's not going to go away. He's not going to be happy. He's not going to willingly just ride out of town. But, again, three parties, maybe we had some good people in it. Wasn't the party system really doesn't do us any good. It really doesn't. The party system has really done a lot to hurt our country, and you can see that every day. It's time for issues and personalities to prevail on their own without being associated or affected by or connected to a party. The party system is broken badly. You know that, and I know that. Let's get back to the bipartisanship, however, of the moment. from ABC, George Stephanopoulos, speaking with a reporter about the compromise, making appearances all over the place in Washington.
Congress is wrapping up his business just in time for Christmas, and the president seems to be on a rebound from the beating he took in the midterm. And Jake, the White House is racking up some significant wins.
He'll go to Hawaii with two big victories in his pocket, and George, perhaps a template for how to work with Republicans going forward.
Remember this from just a few weeks ago?
I'm not recommending for every future president that they take a shellacking like I did last night.
But who was shellacked? The president and Democrats in the past few weeks have passed a tax compromise package, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and they stand on the verge of getting the START nuclear disarmament treaty ratified. To hear Republican Senator Lindsey Graham tell it, it's his side that was shellacked.
This has been a capitulation in 2 weeks of dramatic proportions of policies that wouldn't have passed in the new Congress.
The White House says this was all accomplished by being more bipartisan.
I think the president would admit that he spent more time reaching out to Republicans recently than in previous times.
And the president could be playing more negotiator-in-chief soon. When he returns from Hawaii, he intends to hold a bipartisan retreat at Camp David. And White House sources tell ABC News the president feels there's potential for bipartisan compromise on education reform. Soon-to-be Speaker John Boehner, after all, chaired the House Education Committee that helped write the No Child Left Behind bill. Spending cuts and reducing the deficit, which Republicans talk about wanting to tackle, and government reform, like eliminating earmarks and adding transparency. Some observers say a bipartisan 2011 seems possible.
The door's open a crack now, and everybody's leaving Washington perhaps with a better sense of the other side than we saw the past 2 years.
So there is some hope for bipartisan compromise in 2011, but during this lame duck, they weren't able to reach agreement on the budget. Everything dealing with spending seems to be ripe for more clashes, and those fights are going to hit right at the beginning of next year.
That's exactly right. There's going to have to be a vote to raise the debt ceiling in the spring, as well as, of course, the vote on the budget. And there's going to be a lot of fights there about spending cuts. And you're going to see whether or not this spirit of bipartisanship is truly able to move beyond the new year.
All right. There it is. What's finally happening in Washington is good for you. Oh, 800-510-8255. Obama stopped short of declaring the events of the past week marked by the beginning of his comeback, as some analysts have suggested, as a return from the shellacking. 29 past the hour.
Worries about the economy may put a damper on holiday travel, according to an annual survey of American travelers. The holiday edition of the Access America Vacation Confidence Index found fewer travelers may hit the road this year, and those who do plan to travel intend to spend less than in 2009. The combination of fewer travelers and lower trip costs could mean a multi-billion dollar dip in overall holiday travel spending. The survey found that just 50% of respondents said they were confident they would take a holiday vacation this year, and that's down from 61% who reported being confident in taking a holiday vacation last year. Daniel DeRazzo of Access America has more.
This year's survey reveals both the good and the bad in the current travel market. While spending may be down over last year, Americans are still willing to invest in their annual travel plans. That suggests that value, careful planning, and last-minute deals will be very important this holiday season. And with money a key concern, we expect many Americans will opt to purchase travel insurance in order to protect their travel investment.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What one food can help you to lose fat, build lean muscle, improve immune function, improve blood sugar and mood, support normal blood pressure, detoxify, reduce inflammation, and increase endurance? This one superfood in nature comes from unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. Of all the whey protein powders on the market, there is only one that is both unheated and from grass-fed cows. It is called One World Whey. It is well known that the support of your entire body's repair from whey protein powder is superior to milk, eggs, meat, or any vegetarian protein. One World Whey can offer you a real boost in your health and well-being. If you'd like more energy, or want to lose fat or gain muscle, or if you want to feel better or have more endurance for work or play, then try One World Whey. It comes in three delicious flavors. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWhey.com. That's OneWorldWhey.com.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
Talk radio, top 10. One of the top 10 stories this week, the president's resurgence. Is that the right word? His comeback. This is all doublespeak and the kind of stuff that you are expecting to hear from some of the news talk radio stations and television stations. Yes, it's nonsense. It's another part of an ongoing process, but it makes for good conversation because there are lots of people who love to exaggerate, and exaggeration is always kind of entertaining. To wit, here is MSNBC's Chris Matthews speaking with Steny Hoyer, the Democratic whip, I think he is, discussing the change between Election Day and the end of the lame duck Congress.
What happened the last 2 months that allowed you folks on the Hill to come back from a blistering election and yet show such strength in supporting the program here, including this one?
Well, I think we had a lot of very important things that we wanted to get done. And what the election did was it took away the high motivation for obstructionism that I think existed prior to the election. As a result, we were able to sit down at the table and agree on some things and move forward. The 9/11 bill, as you know, just got 70% of the votes that were cast in the House of Representatives. A very important bill. But the tax bill, we did in a bipartisan fashion. We moved a competes bill. We moved CR. We've moved a lot of very, very important legislation. And today, of course, as you know, the president signed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which is supported by 70% of the American people, but we couldn't get done before the election. So I think what happened was the motivation for obstruction and a lack of cooperation was eliminated when the election occurred, and there was an ability to come together, and we were committed to doing the kinds of things and the specific things that we told the American people we wanted to get done. And I think President Obama's had a victory. I think the American people have had a victory.
Did you see coming out of the election, in fact, going into it, and seeing you're an expert on how the votes were going to go, seeing the damage that was going to be done to your caucus, did you see the importance of making a tough call on the tax issue so that you wouldn't have all this collateral damage? A lot of people, I think the president, you did see that if you hadn't cut a deal on taxes, as difficult, as excruciating as it was, you would have lost probably Don't Ask, Don't Tell. You might have lost New Start. You would have lost this thing for the 9/11 responders.
I think the president, and I agreed with the president on this, and knew that we needed to move through that issue. We wanted very strongly not to increase any taxes on working Americans in this country. We didn't think that would be good for the economy, and we were committed to making sure that didn't happen. And we had to make a compromise. We may not have agreed on all of it, but I think on balance, it's going to help grow the economy, and I think the American people think it was the right thing to do.
Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. That's what a... Get a shovel. Somebody pass me a shovel, please. 800-510-8255. All right, so we go from one extreme to the other. From MSNBC, we go to Fox, where Shepard Smith and Juan Williams discuss all that's gone on the last couple of weeks in Congress.
We've witnessed over the past 2 weeks a piece of history. Whether it's history you like or not is another matter. But getting this much stuff, this much activity on Congress, I never heard of anything like this.
It really has been an amazing period. And, I mean, if there's a historical lens to look at this through, they say this has been now the most active Congress. It's 111th in about 60 years. And so now you start to get some perspective. You move away from the kind of day-to-day political strife that we talk about here. And you start to think, wow, look at all they got done. And even in this so-called lame duck session here, Shepard, you got to say this duck is quacking if he's not flying, because there have been some major accomplishments. And some of those accomplishments accrue to the White House and to President Obama, who took the so-called shellacking in early November. So this is a real surprise. And if you look at the wins, you'd have to include this 9/11 responders bill that we've just been talking about. And then you'd also have to throw in the Bush tax cut extension, the deal, the compromise that was reached there. Kind
and
of in the middle.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Don't ask, don't tell. Right. And then, of course, in the middle, you have something like the failure to get an omnibus budget. But they've got a continuation going. And I think that sets up really what's going to be the big fight early next year, which is over the budget and exactly what kind of cuts we can anticipate.
And another thing that I thought has been really fascinating is the way that some Republicans have come around for, as they've put it now repeatedly, for the greater good. Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, the Republican, who was threatening to slow this thing down, to in essence block it, so that it wouldn't make its way out in this legislative session, that people would go home and these 9/11 responders would have no assurances. Instead of that, granted there was some pressure, but be that as it may, what he did was he said, here are my concerns. This is too much money. I don't like the way this is happening. They came together for a compromise. They knocked billions of dollars off it. And now people on the right and the left and largely in the middle are smiling ear to ear. It's a nice thing to see moving up toward Christmas.
It's wonderful. I mean, we're here kind of like we watch and score the game of politics. But just for a second to say, hey, you know what? Getting something done for the good of the country, you got to take your hat off to that. It really does, I think, open the door to, you know, the middle of the country, the people who are not at the political extreme saying, oh, well, gee, I can see that Washington is having some positive effect. This helps everybody. I think this, you know, we know how difficult it is for Americans to appreciate the Congress. Maybe they'll see a little jump in their standings.
All right. I hold my breath for that one. Juan Williams, their piece of history. Shepherd's Man, I never saw anything like this. What foolishness. It really is. These people and their hyperbole, it's just plain foolish. Okay, before we get to your calls on this at 800-510-8255, major changes, you buying into that? Let's listen to one of our radio hosts, Dave Ross, along with Kim Holcomb on their program, discussing whether the president has won his liberal base back after all the things that went on this week.
Between the gigantic tax package, which will inject more money into the economy than the stimulus did, and the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which has been pending for 17 years, it hasn't been a bad lame duck session for this guy.
No, looking pretty good. Early Christmas for the Obamas. He's looking a lot better.
Now, the question is, will this change the minds of his liberal denigrators now? Will they turn around and now adopt the guy as their best friend once again? Because that's where all the static's been coming from. You expect it from the Republicans, mm-hmm. because they've done it from day one. But the move-on types and the Paul Krugman types who have, and actually the gay lobby who accused him of vacillating and not going too far, I think it's now time for them to say, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I think that it has always been a miscalculation for the liberals who have been up in arms thinking that things were going to happen quickly, because he is a measured man, if nothing else. He is not a person who is going to take great leaps quickly if he's looking at the bigger picture and recognizing that something might take time, but in that regard, it's going to have the better outcome. So for people that thought he was going to be able to get into office, taking on everything he was going to have to be taking on, and do all of these major things right away, I think that that was a miscalculation from the very beginning.
I think that what they wanted was a fighter. They wanted somebody who would stand up and score points on Republicans. And from the beginning, and I think I said this when he was elected, that I had mixed feelings about this, because he governs the same way that I would. He's a practical man.
Mm-hmm.
He does what he thinks is possible to do. And he's just what he said he would be. He would steal ideas from either side if he thought they would work,
mm-hmm.
without regard to whether they would be tagged as Republican ideas or Democratic ideas or liberal or libertarian or conservative or whatever. And he did that. And, of course, the danger always is that since politics is all about taking sides, because we choose people based on elections, they're winners and losers, that he would, in fact, make enemies of both sides, because no one side could claim him. And that's indeed what happened. But then you get a payoff like this.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is the kind of president where it only does pay off in the lame duck session when there's no election coming up and nobody cares. You know, you can actually people can actually vote what they think would work.
All right. There are lots of opinions floating around here. The most important ones at the moment are yours, which we will begin to take in a moment on the Talk Radio Review. I'm Doug Steffen at 17 before the hour.
An important message from Medicare and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Got 2 miles to go, John. Why are you smiling?
Oh, you'll like this. I just changed my Medicare.
Open enrollment?
Yep. I compared plans and found coverage that's better for me.
Did you see the new benefits we get from the new health care law?
What?
Like, well, 50% off brand name prescriptions for anyone in the donut hole.
Really?
Come on, John. You got to keep up.
Open enrollment is November 15th to December 31st. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Hi, welcome to Staples. How can I help you?
I need a printer cartridge, but I don't want to pay a lot.
Well, you're in luck. We guarantee low prices on our ink. So if you find it for less than another store, we'll match it.
What if I find my ink for a dollar?
Well, we'd match it.
How about for a quarter?
We'd match that too.
How about pocket lint? What if I get it for that?
Absolutely.
Really?
No.
At Staples, your ink is always in stock and always at low prices. Guaranteed. And if you find it for less, we'll match it. Staples. That was easy. Price guarantee available within 14 days of Staples purchase. Excludes outlets and clearance. See staples.com for details.
Sally Field talks about getting a month of Boniva free.
If you have osteoporosis, check out the My Boniva program. It's free to join and shows you lots of ways to help improve your bone strength. Boniva works with your body to help stop and reverse bone loss. And My Boniva gives you calcium-rich recipes, monthly reminders, and even a month of Boniva free.
Once monthly Boniva is a 150-milligram prescription tablet to treat and prevent postmenopausal osteoporosis. See our ad in Weight Watchers. Don't take Boniva ibandronate sodium if you have problems with your esophagus, low blood calcium, severe kidney disease, or can't sit or stand for at least 1 hour. Follow dosing instructions carefully. Stop taking Boniva and tell your doctor if you have difficult or painful swallowing, chest pain, or severe or continuing heartburn, as these may be signs of serious upper digestive problems. If jaw problems or severe bone, joint, and or muscle pain develop, tell your doctor.
Ask your doctor if Boniva can help you stop losing and start reversing. And check out the My Boniva program.
Join today and get a free month of Boniva if eligible at MyBoniva.com or call 1-888-MYBONIVA.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold pre-retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
800-510-8255. Well, when you look at the progress, this has not been a lame, this is, you know, when you think about the what a lame duck would mean normally. This hasn't been lame at all. It's been more like a 100-yard dash. White House feeling pleased with itself, apparently. So what do you think? 800-510-8255. I'll give you one other thing in terms of victories. The White House happy to talk about the president claiming that he has made progress in his battle to quit smoking. The president says he's gone 9 months without sneaking in a puff. The White House press always asking Press Secretary Gibbs about the president and his smoking, and Gibbs has avoided the question lately, but he said this week every day is a struggle. No guarantee the president won't light up tomorrow, but he's apparently working hard at quitting and has been on a 9-month hiatus, so they say. He chews nicotine gum. That's what his doctors have told him to do. Had a physical in March. He's pronounced fit, but at that point, the doctors told him he better stop smoking, and it was about that time that he did stop smoking. He's not proud of it. Gibbs said, that'd be a reason, by the way, if for nothing else, at least from my perspective, that I wouldn't vote for the guy because I wouldn't want to have anybody whether they did it or they said they couldn't control it. If you can't do something about something like that, how are you going to get anything else done? There are a lot of people, like Boehner is a big smoker, too. He ought to be quitting, set an example for the American people, don't you think? 800-510-8255. All right, progress we're talking about. David's in Lynchburg, Virginia. What's your read on the progress report, David?
Good morning, Doug. When I read on the progress report, while these guys are toting each other on the back, why does it take them a year long to get anything done? As far as I'm concerned, all they need is 6 months and we can cut their pay back and save some money for everybody.
Wait a minute. This only took 6 weeks. Why don't we just count them to 6 weeks?
Well, you know, we got to give them some leeway to chit-chat and waste our money. So let's just give them half a year to waste their money.
We have to give them time to give MSNBC and Fox something to talk about. Otherwise, well, they'd both be out of business. We'd be sitting here talking about nothing.
Know,
yeah, all right.
Six months is all these guys need. They don't need all year.
A lot of state legislators work only, I think New Hampshire is 2 months a year, and Rhode Island is like 2 weeks or something. Guys get in and get out and are done with their work. So that's a good thought. We'll smile thinking of that, David. Thank you. 800-510-8255. Next up, Ed, listening to KNUU in Las Vegas, Nevada.
There was no surprise of Barack Obama's move to the right. All you had to do was look at his voting record in the Senate. It was one of the most conservative. In a lot of cases, it was more conservative than John McCain's. And also his corporate sponsors. I mean, it was just sort of obvious that he was going to go to the right. So I wasn't that surprised that he went to the right. However, I was very surprised how far he went to the right. And there's rather an amazing story in the New York Times last week that described House Democrats putting their hopes on Joe Biden to bring Barack Obama back to the center, even. I mean, that's how far off to the right he's gone. But my thoughts were, as far as what could people do, what does on the streets mean? Is for a lot of people who are working and don't have time, is a good option third parties? I mean, historically, it's always been third parties that have driven major social change.
Yeah, that's very interesting. The middle. Here's Gabrielle listening in San Francisco on KNEW.
Hi there. Thanks very much. Happy to be taking part in the discussion. So I would characterize myself as a long-term progressive, but now I just feel more politically disillusioned and disgusted than politically principled. I really don't know where to channel my energies other than to kind of buck the entire system. I'm horrified by several of Barack Obama's decisions, namely to reappoint Secretary Robert Gates, the Secretary of Defense, which is only going to continue or has continued the war policy, the reappointment of Ben Bernanke as head of the Fed. I think somewhat surprisingly, I've never crossed party lines before, but I really like what Representative Ron Paul has to say about auditing the Fed. Who are they? How and why do they control the purse strings of the country, if not arguably of the world?
Wow. That's what more and more people are beginning to ask on both sides. Good for you. Thanks for asking the question, Gabrielle. 51 after, more calls right away on the countdown.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. We'll say it again. All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
The Talk Radio Countdown Show takes a look at the issues of the week from various points of view, including bringing in the expertise of Stephen J.J. Wiseman, who is an attorney, consumer finance expert nationally. He has been well known for the past 10, 12, I don't know how many years. When did you first start writing books about things for people to look out for? You're really a consumer advocate. The latest book, The Truth About Avoiding Scams, but you've written other books as well.
Yeah, about 7 books now over the last 10 years.
Really?
Yeah.
And in general, the focus is all on how to have people protect themselves, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. You know, it's a complex world out there, and you really got to know how to make the rules work for you. So that's what I try to do to give the consumer a little bit of an edge.
All right. Let's talk about the number two story this week on the Talkers Countdown, the FCC getting involved in what they call net neutrality in terms of whether this is legal at all or not, given the fact that the FCC has no real legal status. And in general, all of the rulemaking that's getting done by these various agencies that never gets voted on by Congress, and therefore you and I, who are supposed to have a say in a representative government, never have anything to say, and these people just keep grabbing and grabbing and grabbing for more power. How is it that these things aren't almost immediately declared unconstitutional?
Well, you know, occasionally they actually are, and this has happened when I know with the Environmental Protection Agency with some regulations that they had tried to put in that were not in keeping with the law. But going back to, in particular to the FCC, and I kind of smiled when you were mentioning about them getting into the issue of net neutrality. This is an organization that was founded back when federal legislation created the Radio Act.
Right.
And these days, they're trying to look for a reason for their existence. They don't deal with satellite. They don't deal with cable. And they're trying to find places that they can, like you say, extend their grasp and power. And so in this in particular, there are got to be some real questions about, even if they are permitted to act in certain areas, whether indeed they have the regulatory power when it comes to the Internet. And I think, like you say, there could be a challenge. You know, the issue with regulations is Congress can't micromanage. Hell, they can't even macromanage, but that's another story.
Right.
So they will pass legislation and give certain agencies the ability to make the regulations to flesh it out. But they have to be consistent with what Congress say, and like you said, they can't overstep those boundaries and start making legislation rather than regulation.
All right. So let's go one step further with this. All of the backslapping that's going on this week about the lame duck Congress, the best Congress doing this. Or, I mean, these people that must think we're all brain dead. In terms of the things that were passed, whether it's the START Treaty or Don't Ask, Don't Tell, yeah, the DREAM Act didn't make it, I don't think.
No,
did it?
DREAM Act.
No, DREAM Act didn't make it. Okay, but we've got these other things. And so as one looks at the laws that were passed in haste that most of the Congress admits after the fact that they haven't read them, in terms of those which are questionable or can be challenged, and the Food and Drug Administration Act, the so-called Food Safety Enhancement Act, that's rife with illegalities. So how long does it take for these things to come back around? And after they're done slapping each other on the back, there are two questions. How do you pay for all this stuff? And two, is it legal?
Yeah, you know, you've got combinations in there. First of all, buried in some of these pieces of legislation are still where someone will tack on something that doesn't relate at all. And this is a common practice. You got a bill that's going to go through, and so you tack on some little pet project, and they always turn up. And you, like you say, as far as the legislators reading them, you know, a few months from now when the problems do become apparent with a particular legislation add-on, they'll say, gee, I never was aware, which isn't really something that makes you feel very good when your legislators say they don't even know what's in the bills they're voting on. So it will come down to the process of the voting that was done. They're going to have to correct it. And frankly, a lot of the times, they will do this on their own very quietly rather than have the public become aware that they didn't recognize that they had screwed up in the legislation. So particularly in some of the bills that may, you know, the START Treaty, they knew all about that. But some of the others, we'll see changes very subtly in the next few months.
Subtle. That's what I like about those folks who are down there. All right, so all that stuff is over. We'll have lots more to talk about in the new year. Happy holidays, merry and happy and gorgeous and
and hope.
Whatever other words, yeah. Stephen J.J. Wiseman, who, as he said a few minutes ago, is the author of any number of books, the most recent Truth About Avoiding Scams, which you can check out by going to his website, stevelaw.net. That's stevelaw.net. This is the Talk Radio Countdown Show.